Chapter 38. Morning. The following morning, the weather in Washington was overcast but warm. The dull clouds were clearing, thanks to a light breeze coming in from the west, and the day promised to be a pleasant one. That, of course, was only as far as the meteorologists were concerned. On the roof of the J. Edgar Hoover building, FBI Director Chuck Gresham and Attorney General Helen Masterson waited to be called forward to the helicopter. The flight would take them down to the Magnolia Estate and their meeting with President-elect Alex Mason. Neither felt particularly comfortable about the questions they would have to ask their new boss. Nevertheless, a major crime had been perpetrated, multiple murders committed, and a huge conspiracy was evident. In normal circumstances, anyone involved, or even thought to be involved, would have been swiftly arrested and subject to the most stringent questioning. Unfortunately, with the future president implicated, this case was anything but normal, and both Masterson and Gresham felt the outcome of today's meeting could cost them their careers. Or, should the case develop and Alex Mason found to be involved and ultimately guilty, they would be the two people who brought a president to justice. Jack, Lisa, Tom and Grigory had arrived at her country house a little after 8 the previous evening. Lisa was pretty sure their arrival went unnoticed by any of the neighbours from the other half-dozen houses in the select and decidedly upmarket hamlet. The big 4x4 had been concealed in the garage, and the four of them kept to the rear of the property, with no light showing at the front. To anyone passing, the house still looked empty. During the night, they'd taken it in turn to stand watch, and by 7 o'clock the next morning, were all in the big kitchen eating a welcome breakfast, expertly cooked by Grigory. "That pool looks inviting," said Jack. "Shame we need to lie low. Looks like it's going to be a nice day as well, once the cloud clears." "Da," said the big Russian, as he piled more scrambled eggs onto his plate. "I don't have swim for long time."
"Did you get any sleep, Jack?" said Tom.
"Nah, just a couple of hours."
Lisa switched on the big wall-mounted TV and flicked through the channels to CNN's Washington News. The screen was flooded by a wide-angle shot of the Capitol building and the preparations for the following day's inauguration. She flicked to a couple of other news channels, all basically reported on the next day's events. There was nothing about Alex Mason's involvement in the Afghan conspiracy.
"Looks like the Vice President-elect hasn't acted on the information we gave him," said Lisa.
Jack stood up and went to the window. "There's still over 24 hours before he's sworn in. The FBI has got to do something. They can't just sit on the evidence. And don't forget all the killings. Even if they're sceptical about the documented evidence, they're duty-bound to look more closely at the murders, especially as their own deputy director has been killed. Let's see how the next day or two pans out." Tom poured himself another mug of coffee. "Just because he gets sworn in and becomes president doesn't mean he can't still be arrested and questioned. He's not immune."
"That's right, Tom," said Lisa. "So we wait and see what happens over the next couple of days."
The flight from Washington was comfortable. Chuck Gresham and Helen Masterson viewed the city and surrounding countryside from their respective sides of the helicopter. The Attorney General never enjoyed helicopter flights, but Gresham loved the idea of having an FBI chopper at his beck and call. He'd miss this perk if the coming meeting's events went wrong and he was out of a job. Both were absorbed with their own thoughts of how today would develop, and they barely spoke a dozen words to each other on the 25-minute journey down to the Magnolia Estate. Helen Masterson was not happy about having to confront the president-elect. That was Gresham's job. The FBI or the police were responsible for acting on information and evidence, and only the FBI or police usually arrested a suspect. But Gresham had made a compelling case for her to attend the interview with him. Gresham, of course, had insisted Masterson supported him during the meeting, for no other reason than self-preservation. If it all went wrong, then Mason's wrath would fall on both of them, not just him. Alternatively, if it did become evident Alex Mason was indeed implicated, then the glory would unfortunately be shared. It was a win-no-win situation. And, at this moment in time, the outcome was definitely uncertain. Their thoughts were disturbed by the pilot's voice coming over the speaker.
"Good morning again, sir, ma'am,
Landing in 2 minutes. Please ensure your seatbelts are secure.